The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew Mariani this afternoon on this eve of Thanksgiving. If you, like me, are challenged beyond just simply boiling water, we've got some help for you. We're going to share some Thanksgiving recipes and get you ready for tomorrow with Executive Chef David Raymer later in this hour. But first, probably Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday. You hear that from so many. It is for me. And you have an opportunity to get together with family and friends and have some laughs and share some ideas. But how many times do those laughs turn into just, it's a WWE cage match. And you just say, how did this start? You know, we're family. We've got so much in common. Yet it always seems that when we get to the holidays, something always divides us. Now, this year, there's a little caveat because we didn't get together last year. COVID kind of preempted the holidays, or we did it via Zoom or in some way, shape, or form that was very different from the traditional Thanksgiving. And I know many of you are listening in the automobile right now, just going someplace, and you're not alone. 54 million people out on the roads, and we're back to pre-pandemic levels. In fact, they say as many people will be traveling, and that may be you, since 2019 because of the pandemic. So when you get to those moments when things can get a little tense tomorrow, what do you do? We have help. Dr. Harvey Rubin is a clinical psychiatrist at Yale University and in private practice in Southern Connecticut. Dr. Rubin, good afternoon. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Drew Mariani Show, and happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be with you, and it's a pleasure to talk with your listeners and see if we can give them a little bit of information that they'll find helpful.
Now, for many of you who listen to talk radio, if Dr. Rubin's voice sounds familiar, it should, because he kind of invented what we're about to do back over 30 years ago with NBC TalkNet. And you were on, was it 500 radio stations doing this kind of advice that we're about to do now?
It was 370, tell the truth, but it was for 11 years.
Wow,
and
that's great.
There were 7 million listeners, and at that time, I was the first psychiatrist ever to do a national radio show with the longest running.
And now you
it
can take
it. It was a lot of fun.
I bet it is. And we're going to have some fun now and help you, too, at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. When you see that conversation going south at the table, or if you say, oh, he's going to be there, you may not have the best relationship with another member of your family or some friends. What's the best way to handle that when you're finally face to face?
Well, the first thing I want to say before we even answer that question, John, is that many people have not seen their relatives for 2 years, other than in person, not other than Zoom or on the phone. And the pandemic has also changed people's perspective. Some people are fully fledged to getting vaccinated and having booster shots and flu shots, and they may have other family members who are anti-vax and who don't want medicine, who don't believe the science and so forth. And talking to my own patients, I've been finding a number of situations where they've not been able to get together tomorrow because half of the family is vaccinated, the other half isn't, and they don't want to get together and possibly contract the virus. So that's a new wrinkle that we didn't have to deal with in the past. The other thing that you're alluding to is that, you know, people have a lot of different ideas, and one of the things we try and urge people to do is try not to talk politics at dinner or Thanksgiving, because if you run into somebody who really believes vehemently something opposed to what you believe, it can lead to some very uncomfortable situations at the dinner table.
So how do you deal with the mask situation? The mask situation is going to come up at some point in time.
Of course.
How do you deal? And the majority of Americans are vaccinated, and that's good news, but it is very contentious. The issue of vaccinations are very contentious, and masks are contentious. How do you deal with that?
And, of course, you can't wear a mask while you're eating.
Right.
So there are going to be some people, and there will be people at get-togethers, family members or friends, whatever, who are there who may not be vaccinated. The other people are. And there may be some concern about people having to have a COVID test before they come to dinner and so forth. And that may cause some bad feelings before you even get through the door. So the thing you have to do is to try and be understanding and try and understand where other friends or family member are coming from with their thoughts and ideas. You're not going to try and convince somebody who doesn't believe in wearing a mask that they should wear a mask. And you're not going to be able to convince somebody who doesn't believe the science for vaccination to get vaccinated.
Right.
So the issue is you have to try and be thoughtful and careful, and especially when we're talking about relatives. We're not trying to cause a war within the family. So I think it might be, if you have a situation like that where people are really different opinions and thoughts and ideas about these really important issues, it might be good for whoever is hosting the dinner to talk to the different people before they get there and say, you know, we understand that you don't want to wear a mask. We understand you are supportive of masks and vaccination and so forth. But we really would appreciate it if you wouldn't have discussions about these issues. And if somebody tries to bring up something that's really a hot button issue that could lead to upset, and who needs that at Thanksgiving? Maybe the host, hostess, the people who are sponsoring and having the dinner need to say, you know, I think that we don't want to have this discussion at dinner. You want to have this discussion after dinner, someplace on your own, that's fine. But we don't want to share this at the dinner table because it's not a discussion that's going to make any of us feel better. And we're here to feel better. We haven't been together for a couple of years.
Yeah, the gift of time
like
that we were just talking about.
A nice time and not let it be tainted by these kinds of opposing views that are not in anybody's best interest.
Yeah, Dr. Harvey Rubin with us. He is a psychiatrist and one of the pioneers of helping folks on the radio. And he's helping you here on the Drew Mariani Show at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, helping you through some of those difficult moments. And you and I have been in those situations where you see a relative or a friend you don't want to see, especially now that we get together for the first time in the last couple of years. Dee Dee's in Phoenix, Arizona. Dee Dee, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Rubin. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you. I think Dr. Rubin just answered my question, but I'll pose the question anyway. I have to deal every year with a hardcore UC Berkeley graduate hardcore atheist.
Huh.
And inevitably we end up arguing, and I'm tired. And it's just, as you pointed out, Dr. Rubin, we haven't seen each other, you know, and
yes.
At least not last year. But I'm one of these fighting Catholics, so I'm predicting spiritual warfare.
Okay.
Yes.
What do I do?
I think you know what's going to happen because it's happened in the past. And again, it's setting ground rules. We're not going to discuss religion. We're not going to discuss politics. You want to discuss anything else, that's fine. But we're not trying to have people get into debates over situations where nobody's going to change their mind or opinion or position. And because such a debate at the Thanksgiving dinner table will make it a very unpleasant situation. And if a person says, well, I'm going to come and say whatever I want to say, it might be time to uninvite them. Because, in fact, I had a patient today who said she canceled her Thanksgiving dinner for the family because she has a sister who's a rabid anti-vaxxer who's refusing to get vaccinated and would come and criticize the people who were vaccinated. And my patient said, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to make Thanksgiving dinner for my own immediate family and the other relatives. I'm telling them, I'm sorry, I can't do this because I'm not going to invite you to my house to have an argument. So I think you have to be tough, unfortunately, because you're not going to have a debate about God and religion at the table. I don't mean a discussion. I mean a debate. You don't want to have
it turns into a debate, and
yeah.
I always win because I always quote the Bible and
of course, but you do win. But that other person, it falls on deaf ears. He/she is not going to make any change in their opinions or thoughts or ideas, and it just leads to, so you are defending your position and your belief and your feelings, which is wonderful. But it's not going to make any difference. And for the people who are sitting there listening, trying to have dinner, it's an unpleasant experience.
Dee Dee, do you have anything in common with your brother-in-law?
Oh, Well, we're both retired school teachers.
Okay. There's something to talk about. Let's talk about, if you're really wanting to push an anti-vaxxer over the edge, bring them into the kitchen and you baste the turkey, you know, that thing that looks like a syringe. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's just me.
Yes,
bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Turkey with COVID.
Yeah, no,
vaccine.
No, no, no. We don't want to go down that road. Dee Dee, have a very happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much. Our number is 888-914-9149. Dr. Harvey Rubin, with those really difficult times, yeah, we're having some laughs here, and you can have some laughs too, even if there are folks that just don't agree with you. But, you know, you've heard DG's situation, and maybe it's yours. We're here to help. 888-914-9149. James in Wisconsin. James, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show, and you're on with Dr. Rubin.
Hi, I was caring for my parents a number of years ago. They're both high 70s, early 80s, and my sister came to visit, and it hurt myself and my folks quite a bit that she fell away from the Catholic faith. She actually stood up, I don't remember if it was Easter or Christmas, and gave us a flaming pro-abortion speech.
Wow.
There's way too many people in the world, and who's going to care for those kids? And I said, oh, there's so many people want to adopt.
Right.
And she said, no, there's no way to take care of those kids. They got to die. And my parents were, you know, quite elderly at that time. And when she left, I said, why didn't you correct her? And they said, if we do, Jim, she'll probably never stop in again.
Mm.
So,
Dr. Rubin, in Jim's situation, can you just simply say we're just not going to talk? Just say, I appreciate your viewpoint. Let's just move on to something else.
You don't even, John, you don't even have to say I appreciate it.
Okay.
I understand that your viewpoint is different than mine, and I'm not trying to convince you about my viewpoint, and I don't really want you to be trying to convince me about yours, because this is a Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner.
Right.
It's not a place for that discussion. And unfortunately, some people are just not very intelligent when it comes to realizing you're getting together for a peaceful, enjoyable family get-together, and to start bringing in controversial topics and then debating about them and upsetting other people really destroys the whole
right.
evening and the whole day. And you need to be tough and set that boundary, so if somebody's coming in trying to do it, you've got to say, you know, we're not going to have that discussion. If you really can't not have a discussion, maybe you better put your coat on and go out the door, because I don't want to have it at my dinner table.
There you go. James, good luck. 888-914-9149. Dr. Harvey Rubin helping you navigate some of those difficult waters with family and friends when some of those inconvenient topics come up that make you uncomfortable, that make the other guests uncomfortable. 888-914-9149 for some help here on the Drew Mariani Show. Maria in Delano, California, welcome to Drew's show.
Yes.
How are things in the Central Valley?
Oh, they're pretty good. It's getting chilly.
Yeah, it really gets cold. I mean, you can get a nice warm up in the day, but boy, does that temperature drop at night. And you really got to bundle up. What's the situation with you and Thanksgiving?
Okay, my son is at the house and he's fiancé. But my daughter left the house because of the fiancé. And now they're in quarrel because he doesn't want to get together if she's there.
Okay.
So I really don't know what to do, how to say it, and how to make it that they're both there.
Yeah. What's a mom to do when brother and sister don't get along even before they get into the house? And time's running short because it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What do you do, Dr. Rubin?
That is one of the worst situations when it's blood relatives who don't get along. And it puts our caller in a terrible situation because she's in a position where she may be forced to choose one over the other, which we don't want to happen. And those are the situations where at Christmas, one person would come have one kid for Christmas Eve and the other one for Christmas Day. Don't have them together. You're not going to change them. They don't like each other. You love them both. They're your children. So you should plan to get together with them separately. I mean, Thanksgiving is difficult because you can't have, but you could. You could have somebody come for dinner and somebody come for dessert after the other person leaves. But there's no use putting people together who just don't like each other and aren't going to get together and have a pleasant time no matter what you do, and it puts you in the middle. And nobody wants you to have to choose between your children. So
Maria, we'll be praying for you.
To not have them together, because you can't bring them into a situation where they're going to get along with each other.
Maria, all the best to you. We'll be praying for that very, very difficult situation. 888-914-9149. The child of the 60s and the 70s. And I remember these big family gatherings, and none of this ever happened. Although we only had, you know, seven channels. Is that it? Has the world invaded our dining rooms now? We're now, you know, cable news pundits. And what we see on social media is now dictating how our family thinks, to the point where you kind of erase the institutional memory of the family?
A very good point, John. It's a very good point, because, again, people get their news and information from multiple sources. Some of them are valid and some of them aren't. And unfortunately, when you see something on television or hear it in the radio or you read about it, it looks real. It looks true. And we even know now that foreign adversaries, Russia, China, whatever, use these media platforms to manipulate us in this country. So we have to be very careful. But so it's very easy that some of our friends or relatives may come in with major misinformation according to how we see and process things. And then if we start getting into one of these discussions at the Thanksgiving table, it's not going to go anywhere good. So, again, if you know ahead of time, it's very good to try and set boundaries. You know, we don't want political discussions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want discussions about health and science, you know, opposing points of view. We want to have a pleasant time here and not get into unfortunate debates.
With Dr. Harvey Rubin, we're helping you with Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. We'll help you with the food part, but right now we're helping you with the interpersonal relationship part. Pat's in Naples, Florida. Pat, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Rubin.
Hi, guys. I was just commenting. I'm one of eight. I grew up in Green Bay, and I now live in Naples, Florida. And my oldest sister-in-law, who is a saint, not only because she's married to my brother, but whenever there's a controversial discussion, and this goes on over 50 years, she would always come up with this comment. When she moved into a conversation, get a little heated, she'd say, "Well, what about those Packers?" And that was her comment that meant focus on be together here, guys.
Well, that may start another argument, because if you're not a Packers fan, the 8-3 Green Bay Packers, that's not
right.
Bad. You know, number one in the NFC North.
But of course, John, disagreements about whose team is better are not nearly as bad as some of these other things we're talking about.
Yeah, because, exactly. You know, at least you got brethren.
Talking about sports is fine. That's fine. Rarely would a discussion, sometimes it could, but rarely would a discussion about opposing sporting teams, whatever the sport, lead to really upset feelings at the dinner table.
Pat, great suggestion here, and I'm sure a lot of folks will employ that technique tomorrow. Dr. Rubin, when is the right time, if there ever is a right time, to inject a little bit of humor to diffuse the situation?
You and I know, John, we've talked about it over the years, humor is a critically important element, and if you can do it. But, of course, when people are, you know, putting up their dukes and they're about to get into a major argument, it's pretty hard to turn into to inject some humor. But if you can come up with a way to do it, you know, I understand you feel this or you feel that, and I understand, you know, you want to discuss it, but I think the turkey is waiting for some action here. So forget about that discussion. Let's get down to eating.
You know, when the turkey walks out, then you know you've actually crossed the line. There you go. We're hopeful that we've helped. Dr. Harvey Rubin is a clinical psychiatrist at Yale University, clinical professor of psychiatry at Yale University, I should say, and in private practice, and has helped us, and I'm hopeful help you as well. Dr. Rubin, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
John, it's my pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Dr. Harvey Rubin here. You bet. On the Drew Mariani Show, it's John Harper filling in. I've never been up this late. This is fun. It's the other 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's dark outside, too, here in New York. And let's have some fun right now on this eve of Thanksgiving. We have Executive Chef David Raymer here, who's going to take your calls, help you with cooking tips. We're also going to share your recipes, because everybody's got that go-to Thanksgiving dish. It's a side dish or whatever it is. And now that we're getting together for the first time in a couple of years. Let's share those recipes. Let's have some fun on this day before Thanksgiving, and also give you some cooking tips. 888-914-9149 as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
Can you put apples, peaches, and pumpkin pie together for a recipe? That's a classic 1960s song from Jay and the Techniques. Why am I this repository of just worthless information here, Maggie? But nonetheless, I am here on the Drew Mariani Show. It's John Harper filling in this afternoon. But as we talk about literally apples, peaches, pumpkin pie on this eve of Thanksgiving, you know, we can almost through the radio and through the smart speakers just get the aromas coming out of your kitchens right now, because everyone's got one of those signature side dishes. But also, if you're a little challenged when it comes to anything in the kitchen, that would be me as the poster boy on that. What do you do to celebrate Thanksgiving? And how can you just work around some of those shortcomings? Chef David Raymer is here with, how long have you been doing this? You've been doing this over 40 years.
Over 40 years.
But now
I'm starting to just forget everything.
Yeah, an executive chef at some of the best restaurants in New York. He's been owner and operator of so many different restaurants, and he's one of those people, and you probably know someone in your family, chef or not, who makes cooking look easy. How did you get interested in cooking? Because you came to New York when you were a teenager.
Yes, but I was interested in cooking before that. I think I got interested because my mother couldn't cook. And it was self-defense.
Wow.
So, and then, you know, we used to get together. I used to make, you know, quick breads and stuff when I, you know, in high school and even in elementary school. I was famous for my tuna salad. Everybody, in those days, we could walk home for lunch.
Right.
And, you know, we'd have a crowd that would come over and I'd make everybody a tuna sandwich. And that was, you know, fifth and sixth grade. So, I don't know.
Why are people intimidated about cooking? I'm one of those.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, you turn on the heat, you throw something in there, and and it cooks right up.
It really is that easy when you stop to think about it, right? You
know, yeah.
Now, the confession, which is appropriate, I suppose, on Catholic radio, I wouldn't know how to make a turkey.
There are a lot of ways to make turkeys. Unfortunately, my favorite way, and it's almost a little late for that, is because I did it in restaurants for so many years, is to break down the turkey, and because if you're in a restaurant, you don't have enough oven space, you can't cook
a big turkey
of turkeys.
So you cut it up first,
but you can cook a lot of, you know, a tray full of legs and a tray full of breasts that I used to bone out and tie. Mm-hmm. And as this turns out, this is the best way, because you can cook everything to the temperature that befits it. And I also liked to brine them. So it's a little late to brine your turkey, but I guess you could do it overnight. And that also gives you all the bones to make
soup after.
You make the stock beforehand to make the gravy.
See, this is getting complicated.
To make the gravy out of it.
You need the gravy. You can't have Thanksgiving without the gravy.
Right, exactly.
Chef David Raymer is here. We're helping you out with cooking tips on this eve of Thanksgiving. Our number is 888-914-9149 on the Drew Mariani Show, 888-914-9149. And we'd love to share your signature side dish, because I'm sure you have it. You're probably making it now as you listen on the smart speaker in the kitchen or wherever you're hearing Relevant Radio. Perhaps it's on your smartphone on the Relevant Radio app. 888-914-9149. Now you see, you're getting way ahead. Now, see, that's scary when you say okay. you got to brine the turkey.
So let's make it easy.
Okay.
First of all, you know, buy a turkey.
That part I can do.
Make sure that it's thawed out, throw it in the oven. Throw it in a 350-400 degree oven. You don't have to truss it. You don't have to do anything. Basting does work. You should.
The natural juices that come from the turkey.
But you should also coat your turkey. I like to rub, you know, paint my turkey with butter, with melted butter. Okay. Which I think is delicious. If you don't want dairy, you can olive oil is great for everything.
Okay.
You know,
and healthy.
And right. And season. Don't forget to season, although you can, you know, correct that a little bit after it's done. But the most important thing is internal temperature. And for all roasting, including turkeys, beefs, whatever, you're going to want to take the temperature and not go beyond what you're looking for.
What if you don't have one of those thermometers?
If you then pray.
Well, you've come to the right place here on Relevant Radio.
Exactly. You also want to let your turkey rest after you cook it, but pop-up thermometers in turkeys are not worth the
really
if I have
a turkey, and a lot of us do have turkeys with pop-up thermometers, and we see the thing pop up, how much longer do I leave it in the oven?
Oh no, it should have been out of the oven a good 10 minutes, 20 minutes before.
Oh, it's the other way around.
Yeah, it's the other way around.
And that's why the meat is dry.
That's why the meat is dry.
Who knew? That's why we're on the radio telling you this information.
So the best thing to do with those is just pull those out and throw them away before you even put your turkey in the oven.
All right.
Look up a time per weight on the web.
Okay, that's easy.
Yeah, I don't, everybody gets mad at me. Everybody, how long does this cook? How long does that? I don't know how long anything cooks. Cooks till it's done. And and the best way for a turkey or any roast is to have a thermometer and make sure that your internal temperatures are right.
888-914-9149. Giving you cooking tips here on the Drew Mariani Show, appropriate on this eve of Thanksgiving, and also sharing your Thanksgiving recipes. Is it a side dish? Is it a dessert? Are you famous for something? You can be famous for it now on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Thanksgiving, you know, we always talk about the big Thanksgiving meal and, you know, I got to unbuckle my belt and everything. But inherently, Thanksgiving is a healthy meal. Turkey, sweet potatoes, green beans, things like that.
Yeah, stuffing, mashed potatoes.
But you can do that. You can mash cauliflower, right?
You can mash cauliflower.
And you put spices in. Sweet potatoes. You don't need to put any extra sugar or maple syrup in it because it's naturally sweet.
No. I actually, my favorite thing to do with sweet potatoes is to slice them up and throw them in the oven and roast them at a high temperature with nothing but a little bit of olive oil and salt and pepper. And to me, I don't want any sugar. I don't want.
Right.
I don't want marshmallows. I'm not a big marshmallow fan. Mm-hmm. But, you know. And I think that they're just fabulous. And if you want to do something interesting, get some Japanese purple sweet potatoes, and they're so good.
Where do you get those?
They have them at the supermarket right on the corner here.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're not that hard to find anymore. 20 years ago, maybe. But now Trader Joe's probably has them, you know, not to.
Sure.
You know.
So check your supermarket. They're Japanese purple.
Purple. They're purple all the way through. And so they're also incredibly sweet and delicious if you cook them, like I just said, slice them up, throw them in a hot oven because that'll get them crispy.
Don't boil them ahead of time just to get them soft. No, just chop them up in the oven.
Yeah, slice them up, throw them in the oven, toss them in a little olive oil, a little salt and pepper, and throw them in the oven.
Is there a healthier way to do mashed potatoes? If you just let's use the potatoes.
Okay.
Let's not mash cauliflower or anything else, because it's the butter and all everything else you put in there.
Here's my opinion.
All right.
You're asking the wrong person.
All right.
You know, I think that deliciousness is the healthiest thing you can do. I believe in real food and deliciousness.
Okay.
And you're not eating. This is Thanksgiving. This is once a year. The trick to mashed potatoes is lots of butter. And that's just it. Don't do it. Yes. You can, as I said, use olive oil for anything. And will the results be delicious? You can make cakes with olive oil. You can do anything. Mm-hmm. I used to make olive oil ice cream. It was crazy.
Olive oil ice cream?
Yeah, it was crazy delicious. But for potatoes, you know, cream and butter, salt and pepper, maybe a little grating of nutmeg. I used to throw in a teaspoon of horseradish and chop up some watercress.
That sounds good.
Well, watercress is healthy.
Yeah,
there you go.
Have we gone so far over as we talk about a healthy Thanksgiving and really just Thanksgiving recipes in general, having some fun on the Drew Mariani Show with Executive Chef David Raymer and your recipes as well at 888-914-9149. Or like me, you can hear how helpless I am when it comes to cooking anything. 888-914-9149 will help you out here on Drew's show. Have we gone so far around the curve of everything's got to be healthy that we forget that it's once a year? Just have a great meal.
Well, there's always, you know, what they talk about the Mediterranean diet and the French paradox. And in France, they eat tons of animal fats and drink red wine, and they're thin and healthy and live longer. And I believe in the eat real food. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not too much, mostly vegetables. You don't have to pig out every day.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you know, my son, I don't know if I said, just recently lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
And he's looking unbelievable. And he did it with intermittent fasting and I like this idea, and one cheat day a week.
Okay.
Where cheat day was free. But the whole time, it was nothing but, you know, he ate a lot of salmon. Mm-hmm. He ate a lot. But, you know, keep to real food. I have to admit, I don't eat processed foods and fast food at all. And I haven't in years and years and years and years and years. But then I do work in a restaurant kitchen where everything's easily available to me.
Right.
So
what's the temptation like with food right in front of you? Because, you know, we'll have that temptation tomorrow in our own kitchens where you start picking on everything. How do you I know you're working in a kitchen as an executive chef.
I'm a picker, but sometimes I just have to be under control. And I do work in a salad station, so I can pick on romaine.
That helps. There you go. You mentioned vegetables, and vegetables, of course, will be one of the side dishes that most of us will have at Thanksgiving tomorrow. So how do I get my vegetables to be nice and crispy and not real soggy? What's the trick in doing that?
Don't overcook them.
Oh, I said, I don't know. How long do you cook them?
You asked how long.
Okay.
But I don't know how long. What are you doing? You're cooking it till it's done. And what should you do? Taste them.
Got it.
You know, green vegetables, green beans, that's under a minute. You know, you bring water, salted water up to a boil. You throw them in, you take them out. They're good. Green beans are also good. The way I just told you to make the sweet potatoes, toss them in a little olive oil.
Put them in the oven.
Salt and pepper, yes. And put them at as high a temperature as your oven will go, because you want them to, we're talking about burnt as a flavor.
Really?
Yeah.
Burnt?
And char. Well, it's the same thing.
Change color?
Yeah. You want them to be a little blackened. And if the temperature's high enough, you won't. And it's a great thing to do with Brussels sprouts. It's a great thing to do, with broccoli. You know, If I don't have a little char on vegetables in my house, my wife gets mad.
Wow.
You know.
I've never thought of that. So you can't stay very long in the oven.
No. You have to watch it. As I said.
Oh, that part of it. That's no fun.
As I said, you know, I don't know how long. Go take a look every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I love having a timer on my watch. I look and I go, eight more minutes, you know.
What's the Thanksgiving table going to look like at your house?
Typical. You know, we're going to have
a turkey.
Turkey, mashed potatoes. We'll have stuffing. We're going to do it at my wife's cousin's house, and they always have. There are some things that are typical to that family, like broccoli souffle.
Which they make every holiday
and
signature
like
dishes.
That. Yeah, so it's going to be very traditional, And we'll see how inspired I am tomorrow to see if I make a pie. You know?
Okay. So. He says it so nonchalantly, like it's, you know, for us, you know, just getting that bag of instant oatmeal out of the cupboard and putting it with the right amount of water in the microwave is challenge enough. But he says, I just might make a pie. It's Executive Chef David Raymer with us on the Drew Mariani Show, having some fun on this eve of Thanksgiving. We're sharing Thanksgiving recipes with you. And if you need some cooking tips, here's the expert, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Guaranteed you will not lose weight in the next 20 minutes here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your stomach's probably growling listening to the Drew Mariani Show this afternoon because we're talking about food. It's John Harper in for Drew, and we have Executive Chef David Raymer with us, and we're not only giving you some tips for your Thanksgiving meal, but also sharing some of your recipes at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Trisha's out in San Diego listening to Relevant Radio 1000. Hey, Trisha, you're on with David. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Really enjoying all of the tips, and I couldn't agree more about sweet potatoes. They're great just naked. What I wanted to talk about was stuffing. You know, you talked about this is the one day not to worry about fat. I couldn't agree more. And I make stuffing that my mother made, you know, my whole growing up time, which has bacon and all of the drippings. And
right.
You saute onion and celery in it, and then you put in the bread, and no Mrs. Cubbison's. I mean, you need to use real bread. And you stir it all up with some sage and some pepper and some salt, and you stuff it in the bird. Now, none of this casserole stuff. You know, a casserole is so dry, whereas if you have it in the bird, you have all those juices, and then it gets all nice and gummy, and it's just perfect.
Yes. There's no question. Now, the way I described cooking a turkey earlier means you can't stuff it in the bird because I was talking about pulling a turkey apart. So this is in the restaurant.
Right.
So the way I got around that was, since I was cooking everything, is when I would cook the stuffing in a casserole, and there's nothing better, by the way, and I agree with you, than the stuffing that's coming out of the bird. That is by far the most delicious thing. For me, I think it's the most delicious thing ever of anything. It's my favorite part of the meal. But
Me too.
You know, but and your stuffing recipe sounds great. But I would just take as much, rendered turkey fat, you know, in butter and stock, and turkey stock and drippings and try and, recreate, you know, what would happen inside a turkey. And you can actually I'm agreeing it's not the same, but you can do pretty well. You know,
okay.
Trisha, can I have that crusty part that's right at the cavity, you know, right at the end after you stuffed it? That's the best part.
Yes, you can. I don't like that part.
Oh, no.
Really? I like the crusty part.
No, please send it to me. I'm just trying to think. I'll check flights from New York to San Diego, and I'm sure I'll be there by the time the turkey is done. Trisha, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. Yes. Thanks for sharing here with Executive Chef David Raymer. Not only sharing Thanksgiving tips, but helping you in the kitchen. Our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Jennifer in Austin, Texas. Hey, Jennifer, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So my question is on how to make a good pie crust. I've never been able to do it. I've kept so many recipes I tried. I keep the the bowl in the refrigerator so it's cooler.
Right.
I make sure the butter's super cold. I even try to keep my hands cold, and it still falls apart and crumbles.
All of those are good tips. I actually use a Julia Child pie crust recipe, which is mostly butter, but it also has a little shortening in it. I make it in a food processor. Yes, it's important to keep everything cold, and when you're putting the water in, it's just enough to bring the dough together, as little water as possible. Then, are you letting your dough rest at all?
It depends on what recipe I'm using.
Okay, because you should take it when it's come together, take it out and wrap it, and overnight is fine. You got a minimum of a couple of hours in the fridge. That'll help the flour fully hydrate, and when you roll it out after that, it should be fine. You do also want to make sure, so that it's not crumbly, that even though we want the least amount of water and using ice water as possible, you do have to put enough in there to hold the dough together. So, and that's just a matter of feel and looking. So when it comes out, when it comes out of the food processor, and I just like the food processor better than by hand. It's just, it's easy, it's fast, it cuts the butter in well. Well, the butter, before you're freezing it, you're dicing up the butter?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And then putting it in, and I think a little bit of shortening, which is something I shouldn't, I guess, be suggesting that we use.
Well,
it's just a couple of tablespoons per pie.
But you talk about shortening, and Jennifer, you know, you grew up, your mom's recipes used shortening. My grandmother, my mom's recipes has shortening. We're okay.
Yeah.
We survived.
You know, the funny thing is what shortening is a substitute for in a pie crust is pork fat, is lard.
No kidding.
The old pie crusts have pork fat in them, and pork fat pie crusts are great. That's a great pie crust right there.
Jennifer, it's like a different language to me. I apologize to both of you. But I'm learning. I'm learning, you know, here.
So anyway, let that wrap it, let it rest. Make the dough the day before and let it rest in the fridge overnight. And then when you're rolling it out, if it's still falling apart, then you probably need to sprinkle a little bit of water on it. Maybe you need to be a little more gentle when you're doing the rolling. Try rolling between parchment paper or plastic wrap. See if that helps.
Good luck, Jennifer. Thanks. Sounds good. Sounds good. You make an apple pie? What kind of pie do you make? I think Jennifer went.
Yep.
There it is. She's already working on it.
Yeah. She's
888-914-9149.
She figured she's going to let it rest overnight.
Exactly.
She better get that dough done.
Exactly. 888-914-9149. We have a few more moments to take your calls here on this eve of Thanksgiving, not only sharing your recipes, but with Executive Chef David Raymer giving you some Thanksgiving tips. I'm a fan of leftovers. Why does the meal after Thanksgiving, that Thanksgiving night meal when everything's cold and you make the stuffing and turkey sandwich, why does that taste extra special?
Well, everything improves with a day of being together. All the flavors meld.
Like Italian food.
Like a stew. So the stuffing is unbelievable when it comes out of the turkey.
Right.
Next day, it's fantastic. And if you didn't overcook your turkey, if you used your thermometer and didn't overcook, cold, it's delicious. It's all fantastic. So do you like the sandwich with the cranberry sauce right on it?
Yes.
And a little gravy. Oh, a little gravy over the top.
No. You can't have gravy over the top. No.
Oh, yes, you can.
No. You don't mix cold with hot.
Oh.
On a recipe. No.
It's a. Oh.
You can see where I'm not getting invited to. 888-914-9149 with Executive Chef David Raymer here on the Drew Mariani Show. When you look at a turkey, and we don't want to waste any food, and there's so much waste, unfortunately, here in the United States with food, it's sad, and so many who have food insufficiency, certainly because of COVID and for even before COVID. What if you had a turkey? Okay, we're going to have the turkey for Thanksgiving. We're going to have the leftovers, and then all the other parts, all the way down to soup. What do you do?
Soup. I think turkey day after Thanksgiving, turkey soup is absolutely fantastic, and you can get.
What do you use as the stock?
Well, you want to use the turkey stock that you have left. Yes, you can. If you need to add to it, you can. Don't forget, you still have bones and stuff. You can you can pour in canned chicken stock. Is wonderful stuff. And you can throw the gravy in there, which will thin it enough.
Really?
Yeah, it'll thin and be part of the soup.
Wow, never thought of that.
And all the vegetables.
Yeah.
And, get it all in there.
Do the bones add flavor? I always remember my grandmother telling me that, and I don't know if it's an old wives' tale or if it's...
Oh, no.
It really does.
But then what I said at the beginning of how I always cooked a turkey, we were taking it off the bone and using the bones for something else. So, but yes, they absolutely do. But I like to roast the bones separately and make stock out of it. I mean, it's just the way I do it. So,
is there a way to make a pumpkin pie? Because a lot of us will have pumpkin pie, kind of the traditional, one of the traditional desserts of Thanksgiving, to make it, to really make it pop. Because we've all had pumpkin pies that just have no taste.
You got to find the right recipe. I love pumpkin pie, but I like everything. Mm-hmm. So delicious food's delicious food.
And inherently healthy. We've talked about the crust, but...
Pumpkin pie, the tip is use canned pumpkin. Don't fool around. I used to make a triple layer, so I would do like a pumpkin pie layer, and then I'd make like a pumpkin chiffon and put that on top, and then whipped cream on top of that. So, I think it's important to me is to don't over season. Don't put, because you're going to block the flavor of everything.
Is there a substitute for sugar?
No.
No.
Substitute for sugar.
Well, if you want to just save a few calories, maybe you don't want as much sugar.
We're talking about Thanksgiving here.
Stop talking about
saving calories.
What? My mom made a healthy cheesecake, and she would use a graham cracker crust. So that was, a little healthier, number one. And she would use the reduced fat ingredients for the cheesecake. And it was pretty good. And she would use stevia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, which is the natural sugar as opposed to the regular powdered sugar. And that seemed to work.
With stevia, you do have to watch out which one you're buying.
Really?
Yeah.
They're not all the same? Those drops are not all the same?
They're not all the same. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Do I think you should be having a pie every single day?
No.
Can on a Friday you're eating leftovers. Saturday can you eat a big vegetables and a great big salad and yes.
Okay.
Can you go back like I was talking about losing weight and having a cheat day? Well, Thanksgiving's your cheat day. On cheat day, everything goes.
Okay. All right, there you go. Teresa, we have a couple of minutes. Give us your cranberry sauce recipe for Thanksgiving.
Okay, this is a healthy cranberry sauce with no sugar added. It's just plain healthy and all ingredients. They're frozen cranberries, boiled, of course cooked, and then cooked cranberries, okay? Frozen orange juice concentrate, not diluted, just as it is. And then crushed pineapple, drained. And applesauce, which sweetens the cranberry, so you don't have to add any sugar. And then Knox gelatin to thicken it a little bit.
Ooh, and, that sounds good.
And you can also add psyllium seed to thicken it a little bit, too, give it a little fiber. And that's my cranberry sauce, and I have 8 children, and they all love it.
Oh, that's...
In orange juice also, I cook the cranberries. I think it's a great idea.
Let's get you in real quick, Rich, with Executive Chef David Raymer in Madison, Wisconsin. Go ahead, please.
Sure, quick question. I use turkey bags when I make my turkey. What's your opinion of them? Are they that helpful, do you think?
It's putting turkey in a bag?
I've never cooked turkey in a bag. So
that was the rage for a while. Put everything in a paper bag.
Does it still crisp?
Does it still crisp for you, Rich, when you put it in a bag?
It does. Yeah, it seems to be a fad these days, keeping things moist.
As I said, don't overcook it, and if you brine it and don't overcook it, you're golden.
David, thank you for all of these cooking tips. Executive Chef David Raymer, I'm going to hit a drive-thru for dinner tonight.
All right.
How much rubbed off. Hey, it's been fun. Drew will be back right after the Thanksgiving break here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.